Bibles with you tonight, you can turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 6, please. And once more, let's just pray together before we look into the Word. Father, again, we thank you for your Scriptures. Thank you for this encouraging passage that we're about to look at this evening. I just pray, dear God, as we look back at things that you've accomplished already, that we'd be encouraged. Thank you, dear God, for this place that you've given us, this group, this part of the body of Christ. And we appreciate who you are and where we are tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I've entitled this message, actually, "We Can't See the Forest for the Trees." And it's kind of funny because I can remember some time ago, and I probably have shared this before, that I stood in the town, I guess you would call it, of Banff. Maybe some of you have been there. It's like standing in a basin. There's mountains all around, and I was talking to there was a man there, and we were engaged in a bit of a conversation, and I said something about his beautiful place. And his answer was, "Eh." Well, what's wrong with it here? To me, it's beautiful. He said, "I'm not sure." Why? So the mountains block the view. And if you've ever been there, you can't see very far. It's like, thanks a lot. You ruined it. Only thing could be worse is the prairies. I've always told people, buy a treadmill. It's like walking in the prairies. Just stand. You don't get any closer to where you're going. And I thought, sometimes, you know, we can't see the forest for the trees. That's an expression, I'm not sure where it came from. But we miss what is obvious. I think sometimes we miss what is obvious. I guess we'll say this is devotional. No, we're going to be in Nehemiah back and forth from chapter 4 through chapter 6. But I wanted to, my text tonight really is just this part of one verse. Verse 3, chapter 6. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Question mark. I've been thinking about questions a lot lately. And I looked at this passage of Scripture, and there was a couple of things sparked this in me. I had read this the other day. And I'd been thinking about Nehemiah and the work that he had to do and that it was important. And I became interested as I thought about the fact that why in the world would somebody who was in captivity go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls that had been torn down? All but destroyed, looked at as being ruined. And I thought, if you were to look at the walls around the city of Jerusalem today, it would, in one sense, you would say that they're all but ruined. But as prophetically speaking, it's interesting that the Eastern Gate is bricks and mortar. It's still there because prophecy says that the Lord Jesus Christ will enter Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate. It's the same idea as a stone was rolled in front of the tomb to keep him in. They bricked up the wall to keep him out. And it's interesting enough that they believe enough that he's going to come through that gate. Not over it or around it, they brick that up. Well, of course, he can't come through because we've got it bricked. And I got thinking about this. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? And I thought, well, it's easy enough for Nehemiah to say because he was doing a great work. If you back up, well, we'll read the whole verse. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. Why could Nehemiah not come down from the wall? Because he was doing a great work. He was refortifying Jerusalem so that when the Hebrews got back in the city, they would be safe. They couldn't be attacked from the outside. And in his mind, he was doing a wonderful work. And I thought, well, good for you to say. And I sat and pondered over that, you know, spent a little bit of time thinking about it, and it sort of escaped me until this morning. We had a visitor in our church this morning who spoke with me for a few minutes before he left, and he made mention of the conference that we had here at Bethel Baptist Church ladies' conference, the Friday, so on. And do you know that in some surrounding communities, the report has gone out how well things are going at Bethel Baptist Church? And what a great conference that we had here at Bethel Baptist Church. And I thought, why shouldn't I just come down from the wall and never mind? Is there a great work? And I thought, you know, and I sat down just this afternoon, and this is a privilege that I have being a preacher, I can change my mind. I changed my mind about what I wanted to say before, and I thought, what is a great work? What does a great work look like? Look around. And you may see it's kind of sparse here tonight. Maybe it isn't as great as we think it is, or we thought it was. And I haven't said this maybe in a while, but I am convinced that we're right now tonight in by far the greatest church in the area. I'd be stretching it to say that there are, you know, that there aren't others who don't love the Lord. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that that other pulpits don't have godly men or good preachers or anything like that. But I'm saying that we're in a place right now tonight that the Lord has established for a purpose and a reason, and there's a work that goes on here, and there's a purpose and a reason. And when I started asking myself, what is the work that we do and how come we're here? My mind went back and I wrote down just 15 things. I probably missed some. And it dawned on me this morning that someone came into this Sunday school, 3 years old, ran over and grabbed me by the leg. If it wasn't for this church, wouldn't be under the sound of the gospel. That's a great work to start with, isn't it? When you stop and think of some of the things that happen and some of the things go on, this place was established and is here, not so only that you could be saved, but some of these young people who aren't going to other churches, they aren't going to other places, would have a place where they could come and hear the gospel. Have a privilege and opportunity to be saved. And I don't know. I guess I don't do things properly. I couldn't tell you how many young people are saved in this church in the run of a year. I'm excited, I'm happy when I hear about it, but I look at it a little differently. We should expect that. It shouldn't be, oh, what a surprise. And I do expect that. And I always tell people, yeah, there were some. And when you stop and look at the programs we had, I thought about our Sunday school. There was a number of young people here this morning who would have heard the gospel. I don't know if you realize that you're spoiled or not, but I don't know of any other church, any other place, where there's an adult class. And we have a good adult class. It's an interesting discussion. But I'll make you the challenge. You go, I better not say this. I was going to say, you go to some other church next Sunday, but you might not come back. Some pretty good-looking preachers all over across town. I wish you could see what I see sometimes. But if you were to just ask somebody, listen, I want a Sunday school class this next week, you know what you would hear? It just isn't done. And it dawned on me a number of years ago that, and I enjoy teaching the class. This is one thing, Sunday school. How about junior church? We've got a good junior church program. Partway through the service every Sunday, young people leave and they go downstairs and people are ministering to them. Got a couple of nurseries, different programs going on that we aren't concerned or aren't worried. And by the way, we're not interrupted by the nursery. I'm probably number than the congregation in this sense. I know from time to time I've had people say to me, oh, that baby was annoying me, but it wasn't annoying me. So that, as far as it goes, you can have all kinds of noise in the world and it just doesn't bother me when it comes to preaching. Other things were going on, maybe it would trouble me, but that doesn't. How about this? We have couple of church services here on every Sunday. I enjoy Sunday night. I don't dislike Sunday morning. It's wonderful and it's fine and we have a good church. But I enjoy Sunday night, and I've often thought, what's going to happen if we get too many people Sunday night? It's going to ruin the atmosphere. Anyway, it's no danger right now, so I'm not, don't have to worry about that right now. Well, we have a youth meeting, and I want to tell you, since September, I've been to part of most of the youth meetings that we've had. I'm not here for the whole program, but I usually come in and I go out. Sometimes I say stay, sometimes I don't. And I can tell you, without apology, up until Christmas, it was good. But do you know there was a conflict every single week? Do you know that since Christmas, and I can't put a finger on the reason, there hasn't been any. It's been really, really good, and I've enjoyed it. But I think I enjoyed Friday night best of all, because I got to see. I don't know how old those guys are, but they watch comedians, they like comedians. Eric and Derek. It was just so funny to sit in that room, and they started asking me, do you know this guy? Do you know that guy? No. Oh, they're funny, and telling me these jokes. Well, anyway, we watched a couple comedians, and it was funny. After the word was taught, it was very good, actually. So we have that. We could say, what about prayer meeting? What about kids in the basement? What about our Wednesday night teams? And you stop and look at, why can't I come down from the wall? Why can't we come down from the wall and stop the work that we're doing to do something else? Because why? Because we're doing a great work. And I just thought tonight, I need to remind you, as I reminded myself, Nehemiah said that he had a meeting with himself. He consulted with himself. And I decided that I would consult with myself and say, what in the world are you doing this for? And it wasn't to take me long to figure it out. That there is a great work going on. And it's going on here. And sometimes we just miss it. There can be lots of turmoil, but it can be outside. And if the turmoil is going on outside, looking in the windows, we don't care. I used to get annoyed sometimes when neighbor kids would stand on my step and watch me eat my supper. And I would ask them, you guys hungry? Nope. You want to come in? Nope. Come in or do something, but just don't stand there. Anyway, prayer meeting is a vital part and so on. Kids in the basement, Wednesday night teens. I don't think a lot of people, maybe even in the community, would realize or recognize what does go on here. Or the privilege that we have. And then I got thinking of this idea that Wednesday night teens, there's ladies missionary group, ladies prayer meeting. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, it gets interesting because you will find that the ladies were involved with the building of the wall. And when you read scripture at that point in particular, you will find that the women were normally not much mentioned. But the women were so concerned about that the wall would get built that they were helping with the task that normally would have been given to men. And it's kind of interesting that you would see this group of people would go to put together, they're doing a great work, and they pulled together and they worked together to get the task done. And when the enemy came along, the enemy was unable to bring them down from the wall. Nehemiah just got to the point where he said, I haven't got time, I'm busy. They only stopped to wash their clothes. And they worked round the clock type thing. We have a great trustees board. It was so interesting the other night, it's probably the only trustees board in the world that I know that has two chairmen. It was fun. We have, I was kind of laughing about this and paused a few moments to pray about this today. We have a great deacons board. You just don't know who they are yet and how it's working, but don't worry, there's a plan. Thinking about our choir. I was so thankful for Darlene this morning, because every once in a while, I'm guilty of speaking, thinking later. I just said something like this, if no one else shows up, I'll help you. And then I thought, oh. And then the Lord sent her along. Special music? Well, I enjoy our special music. I've been tempted to get involved in the special music program a couple of times, but I've thought better. You'd be surprised at some of my musical talents. So far, I've never been able to accomplish some of it when anybody's watching me, so I decided against it. And I was thinking tonight, I couldn't find my note. I was going to say, same as Stella did. So, you know, that was a great message this morning. I want to share it again tonight. That would be fun. Now, for those of you, some of you who are laughing, how many of you are here this morning? Couldn't have been paying attention. This is the same as this morning. No, it isn't. Oh. DVBS, already we have a number of people who have suggested that they are interested in helping in various ways. We got the stuff out this evening and started to look things over. And I was thinking about these things all at once, and I just started to jot down the different ministries here in the church as I thought about this idea that you need to be reminded tonight that we're doing a great work here. And we haven't got time for distractions. We haven't got time to come down from the wall, to look at various things and different things. And I want to go back just for a moment, chapter 4. A couple of things I want to look at there. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Do you know that someone had suggested, and this is funny to me, and all this stuff is, you know, being recorded and all that, I have to be more careful, but there was an organization with which I once worked that the idea was, when I didn't work there anymore, give him 1 year and he will fail. It was, people get angry if you do something different than they think that you ought to do. Well, there was no difficulties. It had nothing to do with that. That if you're not going to do it what I want you to do, I hope you fail. In fact, I was sharing with some of you, there was an individual phoned me just about a month ago that I hadn't talked to in 10 years. And the idea, what? You're still a pastor? I said, well, aren't you still a missionary? Insulting. But I haven't got time to come down from the wall and drive 1,000 miles just to slap someone, so we'll stay here and not worry about it. But the idea is just how interesting it is with someone. And actually, this individual was and still is my friend. It's just, hadn't heard, didn't try to hear, and I didn't try to keep in contact either. That's just how it worked. Life is interesting. Nehemiah understood some of these things. Verse 2, it says, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Question. Will they sacrifice? Question. Will they make an end of a day? In a day. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are buried? In case you haven't caught on already, this is someone making fun of the project that Nehemiah is about to do. What, them? Those insignificant, unintelligent, uneducated, whatever, Jews, they think they're going to take this mess and fix it? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. In other words, go ahead, let them build it. It'll be built so well that even if a fox runs on it, the thing's going to collapse. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. It's interesting, as you read through the book of Nehemiah, a couple of things that I jotted down. Verse 6 in chapter 4 is, Nehemiah had a mind to work. When you stop and look at this verse, it just says this, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind what? To work. How were they able to rebuild the wall? Because Nehemiah and the people had a purpose, and the purpose of their heart was to what? We're going to do the work. And as I look around and think about it, well, there's some work to do, and if we have the mind that we will do the work and we go about it in the right way, and verse 9 helps us with that. tells us that they had an attitude to pray. I learned a lot about attitude when I spent some time flying with Wesley. Because there's in some of the terminology that they used is that the aircraft has an attitude to fly. That's why they have to tie things down if there's a storm. Because some of the smaller planes in particular, some of the Cessnas and so on, because of how they're shaped and designed, they have an attitude to fly. And if they get the wind the right way, they will fly if no one's in it. In fact, I was on a lake in northern Manitoba, and the guy was showing me a single otter out there on floats. But a mechanic had got in the thing, and he was working on it, no pilot. And he got up under the dash, and he was idling on the lake. And then he had the thing revved up and slowed down, and when he got up to... He came back up. He was like 100 feet off the lake. He knew he was going down the lake, but he had no idea that he had taken off, and he had also no clue really how to fly very well. So it got interesting for that man. He did okay. He slowed the thing back down, and it landed the same as it took off. Why? Because the plane had an attitude to fly. And you get me going the right direction, the right speed, I'm going to fly. Well, the children of Israel here, they had an attitude to pray. And I think one of the things that we probably have learned quite well, but we don't want to lose, is we need to have an attitude of prayer. Verse 9 is just this. They had a watchful eye. We need to be looking around and we need to be careful. And we've been talking about that a little bit because we have an enemy who will approach from various places in various ways. And we just have to be careful. Verses 1 to 3 here in chapter 4, I jotted down that they knew the pain of being mocked. I don't know why I can't seem to get past this. Someone told me before I was saved, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. But you know what? They do. I just haven't got to the place yet where I enjoy being mocked. And I want to tell you, I have been mocked a lot the last little while, and I don't like it any more than I used to. But when I pray about it and I think about it, it's like, why should a person care? Well, it's because we have a sin nature, and part of that is to be proud. And when somebody tells you that you're not doing things properly, you're not doing them right, or they mock what you do, or where you are, or who you are, or whatever... So we just have to be a little bit careful. The children of Israel knew what it was like. They were making fun of the wall that they were about to build. Go ahead and build it. It will fall down anyway. When it came to Judah, verse 10, they knew what it was like to be mocked by their friends. Somebody on the inside didn't appreciate, didn't like, didn't agree with what's being done. So I've stopped and thought a number of times over the years of the situation Nehemiah found himself in, but he was convinced that God wanted him to go there and rebuild the wall. So, in spite of the adversary, he went and he built the wall. Work is important, and we had not to be sidetracked. I jotted that down, but I want to look at one other thing very quickly before we close. In chapter 6, we'll turn back there. It just says this. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do mischief. Isn't it interesting that sometimes somebody will suggest, let's come and meet together. We'll meet together in some little place. That's all we need to do. We can fix it by just meeting together. Nehemiah finished the statement, finished the conversation by saying, I can't come down. Why should the work cease whilst I have it and I come down to you? So the idea is just this, and I guess the real truth of the matter is that I had two things that I wanted to share with you tonight. Number one is just this, that it's a great work that we're doing. It's a great work that God has called us to do. And we need to be in prayer and have a watchful eye that we won't be sidetracked and come down. We'll close in prayer. Thank you again, our Father, for the few minutes. Thank you, dear God, for this great example in Scripture that you've given us that we can follow and how well it applies to our lives. And I just pray, Lord, that we would have the grace and courage of Nehemiah. And we anticipate a wonderful DVBS. Looking forward, dear God, to the summer ministries here at the church. And we thank you, Lord, for this place that you've set aside to do your work in this community in Christ's name.